This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Well, just a normal night of NHL hockey here at Honda Center. A lot of good things happen, folks, so hope you stick around with us here as we recap things on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Brewster will join us in a little bit. We have our Play of the Game coming up, a review of everything, and hope to be joined by one of the members of the Anaheim Ducks Hockey Club. So, you know, we'll get started with our recap. We'll pause for the interview, and then, of course, have our Play of the Game. 3-2 was the final. Anaheim over the Vegas Golden Knights, and tell you what, if you hadn't seen a hockey game and you came out to see this one tonight, Dan, I think you'd come back.
I do too, Steve. This was an entertaining game. Obviously, the Ducks were kind of hanging on for much of the night with the overwhelming shots on goal advantage for the Vegas Golden Knights. But credit to the Ducks for being able to do that, hang on and hang in. And a lot of credit for that, of course, goes to the goaltender, John Gibson. But ultimately, they get the job done. Fun night at Honda Center.
So, a positive early on, and we talked about this in the pregame show. You want to grab an early lead. Start playing well at the beginning, and they did, and it resulted in an early goal just over the three-minute mark gone by on the first by one of the veteran players.
And the Ducks really did get off to a good start in this hockey game. That's kind of camouflaged by the penalty trouble that came soon thereafter and enabled Vegas to turn the game in its direction. But early on, the Ducks had four of the game's first five shots on goal, and the fourth one resulted in the first goal of the game by Adam Henrique. Troy Terry made a nice play carrying the puck down the right wing, and a sweet little dish set up Adam Henrique, whose initial shot in front was stopped by the goaltender Aiden Hill. But Henrique stuck with it and was able to bury his own rebound. For Henrique, his 10th goal of the season. Terry and Zegras the assists. And the Ducks had a 1-0 lead at 3:27. Shortly thereafter, though, Anaheim had to kill a 5-on-3 Vegas power play that lasted a minute 50 seconds. And remarkably, the Ducks were able to do that.
And then history repeats itself. Those guys, Henrique, Zegras, Terry, who were involved in the first goal of the game, help out again.
Yeah, and Adam Henrique really made this play possible. Coaches talk about good defense leading to offense. No better example than here, Adam Henrique poking the puck free from Vegas in the neutral zone. And then after it bounced around a little bit, Henrique able to skate across the Vegas blue line and just absolutely blasted one from the high slot that beat Aiden Hill. Henrique gets goals on back-to-back shots. This one his 11th of the season. Zegras and Terry again with the assists. And that ended the evening for Aiden Hill. Vegas coach Bruce Cassidy opted to replace his goaltender, bringing on Logan Thompson, even though Thompson had played last night in L.A. But the two Henrique goals in the first period put Anaheim on top 2-0.
And then one that could have made you feel a little sad. Vegas scores a shorthanded goal to regain some of the momentum from falling behind early.
Yeah, the Ducks were in a great position here with the 2-0 lead going on the power play after Troy Terry drew a slashing penalty on veteran Vegas winger Phil Kessel. Ducks, though, had the power play backfire when they lost control of the puck at the left point in the Vegas zone. That enabled Mark Stone to pick it up, go in on a breakaway. Stone with a nice deke to beat John Gibson. The unassisted goal for Stone, his 16th of the season. That pulled Vegas within 2-1 at 13:15 of the opening period.
Only one goal scored the rest of the way in regulation time. A former Duck got it, and that evened up the game at 2 apiece.
Yeah, you think about this, Steve. John Gibson stopped 49 of 51 shots tonight, and this goal by Vegas, with all due respect to Ben Hutton, it was a fluky one because Gibson had made a terrific left pad save on Hutton right in tight, and then Hutton did, to his credit, stick with the play, put the stick on the puck once more, and it caromed in off the skate of Ducks defenseman Urho Vaakanainen. That gave Hutton his first goal of the season. Michael Amadio and Phil Kessel with the assists at 13:32 of the second period. That tied the game 2-2.
And then nobody got a goal in that third period, did they?
No, that was a much more even period. However, the Ducks, after being shorthanded five times in the opening two periods, did not take a penalty in the third period. Meanwhile, Anaheim had two power plays of its own, unable to capitalize despite four shots on goal. But for the period, the Vegas edge in shots was only 13-10. So we stayed tied 2-2. We went to overtime. Ducks got another power play in overtime at the 3:13 mark. Troy Terry drew his third penalty of the game. This one a tripping call on Mark Stone. Ducks had plenty of puck possession, plenty of pressure, but were unable to get the game winner. So we went to the shootout.
We went to the shootout. First up for Anaheim was a guy by the name of Trevor Zegras, and here's what he did. Here's Zegras, stick handling in, shoots, he scores! How many times did he deke with the puck that time? It's 1-0. 1-0, that is our play of the game, brought to you by PDF Tron, but we have a second one for you in just a moment. So Mark Stone comes up, fails to get one by John Gibson. So Zegras' teammate Troy Terry steps up next with a chance to really put some pressure on the Vegas Golden Knights. Here's Troy Terry one-on-one with Thompson. Could give Anaheim their second shootout goal. Here he comes to the right of Thompson. In shoots. He scores! Troy Terry has given Anaheim a 2-0 lead. And coming up, the Golden Knights have to get a shot and a goal on this play.
And, you know, Steve, all those years when the Ducks just really didn't have a whole lot of success in the shootout, and other than one stretch where Jakob Silfverberg was very effective, they just didn't have the types of players who were able to shine in the shootout. It's different now with Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch, and it certainly was tonight. That set up John Gibson to nail it down.
Yep, Riley Smith failed to beat him, and the Anaheim Ducks had recorded a shootout win by a final score of 3-2. And you know what we ought to do is just name both of those goal scorers, Zegras and Terry, as our plays of the game. And again, PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. We're going to keep it here as we assume that we'll have one of the Anaheim players to visit with here shortly, and then we'll bring in Josh as well. I don't know. Is this the beginning of some good things? Is this the type of game that can give Anaheim some much-needed spirit and a boost when they look forward to a game against Nashville on Friday?
Steve, let me answer that question about 4:30 Friday afternoon, because you know, we've seen over the course of this season there really doesn't seem to be any momentum that carries over from one game to the next, either positive or negative. Every game is a clean sheet for the Ducks, literally and figuratively. You know, we've talked a number of times about big wins, and hopefully that can carry into something more than that, and it hasn't happened. So you'd like to think so. But the Ducks, I guess, will answer that question themselves when they face the Nashville Predators here in a rare matinee game on Friday.
Hey, guess what? Save this for last. You save the best for last. With the Anaheim Ducks winning tonight, it's time to fly together to McDonald's tomorrow. SoCal residents can get a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle for only $2 on the McDonald's app. McDonald's app download and registration required at participating McDonald's. And folks, Dan Wood, Josh Brewster up in the booth. Oh, they're just dying to go get their McDonald's maybe tomorrow, huh? But that's nice, be able to give away that tonight, too. And that's what the victory in a shootout did for the Anaheim Ducks fans. Well, we're still hoping to get somebody downstairs to visit with us. Haven't received any particular word. So maybe we can get Josh Brewster in here as well. Already heard from Dan a little bit, heard from me, and he's ready to go. He has a smile on his face, and what did you think of all this?
Well, I'll tell you something. We always do it the easy way, guys. We spot you 50 shots on net. And the first period was interesting. We're up 2-1 in the first period. You asked me what I thought. I said, well, it's a mixed bag. And then the second period was our usual second period. And then the third period, again, a mixed bag, but the Ducks really, really poured it on. And I also thought that, you know, guys like Sam Carrick, they really were, you know, banging around the opposition's net in the third. And I thought, in general, the Ducks played a pretty darn good game in the third, you know. And so, look, Vegas, it's interesting. Vegas pulled their goaltender, and that was a very astute move. Thompson went the distance for them. We got those great moves in the shootout from guys who we really need to make great moves in the shootout. So, you know, look, there was a very rough middle. We're used to the rough second period. But you have to admit, the first period and the third period, there was a lot of good stuff there. Obviously, the march to the penalty box can't continue. But if you look at what we did in the third, you know, we're drawing calls. And there's a reason we're drawing the calls in the third. We played much better and our feet were moving.
Well, Troy Terry, in addition to everything else he does, he drew three penalties and now has 20 drawn penalties this season, which is a pretty impressive, in addition to the two assists tonight. And, Josh, I think you made a really good point when you mentioned Sam Carrick, because that fourth line, we talked about it early in the third period, Carrick, Kirkland, and Megna, you know, they had a couple of really good shifts there early in the third. So, they contributed as well as everyone else.
All right. We have Adam Henrich down in the locker room. Adam, this is Steve Carroll with Dan Wood and Josh Brewster. Congratulations on the win. That one had to feel pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it did. Just sticking with it throughout the game. You know, especially going through all the special teams tonight, back and forth. There's times in that game where a power play needs to be able to take advantage and find this one either early or later in the game. So it was a good win, just sticking with it and finding a way in the shootout.
How important was it to get those two goals in the first period and grab that early lead? Is that a big thing for a hockey team? I'm sure it is.
Yeah, you want to get out and play with the lead if you can. They played last night too, so you want to try and jump on them with speed and establish our game really as quick as possible. So I thought we did a good job coming out there. You know, they pushed back, though. They're a veteran group over there. They pushed back and kept it within one there shortly after. So, like I said, just a good win sticking with it.
Well, John Gibson was he wasn't too busy tonight, was he? But he played extremely well. Just kidding, of course.
Yeah, he always plays well. especially with a lot of power plays and killing. The shot totals get up there. So I thought at times we did a good job keeping things to the outside, not getting too scrambly. And then, you know, at times they're going to get opportunities. They're going to push and get inside. And when we needed them, he made those big saves for us.
And then, of course, success in the shootout. You guys work on that a lot during practice during the week?
Nope. Maybe the kids do. I don't know. They do, like, Instagram stuff and TikToks. And I think that's, you know, for the shootout.
So what's ahead now for the hockey club? We're still at home. We're home for the next, seven games in a row of an afternoon game on Friday. Is this right now the thought, let's continue this momentum, let's go out, get another win against Nashville, and maybe get this roll going, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like we've been on the road a lot this season, so it's nice to have a long home stand here. And I think it's important for us to establish ourselves at home, have an identity in this building with this group, and make it hard on teams when they come in here and let them know that. So, big win tonight, and we need to be able to carry that over moving forward for the rest of the homestand.
And final question for you personally. It must have felt nice to get number 10 and 11 tonight, huh?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was always nice to score, get on the sheet. A bigger picture of getting the win is what you need. So, every night is different, and you got to give, what's needed. So tonight got on the board for two, which is nice, but penalty kill came up big throughout the game, and like I said, just find a way to get that win.
Well, we enjoyed it up here watching. I know the fans did as well. Congratulations on the win, and we'll see you on Friday.
Thank you.
All right, Adam Henrich, Ducks forward. So I'll go to you two gentlemen. Some final thoughts maybe on the game and also what Adam had to say. Josh?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, tonight Adam Henrich got his own rebound. on one of his goals, and I thought that was really impressive. And I think that's, you know, that's the kind of spirit that's got to infect the forwards, to never quit around that net, look for opportunities to get second chances. And he was good in the faceoff circle. He's so dependable in the faceoff circle, and it's great to see him rewarded tonight. I thought he really led out there, and good on Adam Henrique. It was great to see him have a good night.
What a pro Adam Henrique is. I mean, he does so many little things that don't get noticed but help teams win. And we talk so much about the young guys on the Ducks, and not that Adam Henrique is old, but obviously he's an established veteran player. But I think sometimes we have a tendency, and certainly fans have a tendency, to overlook Adam Henrique. I do want to say this, though. That's 25 two-goal games in Adam Henrique's career. He's never had a hat trick, as amazing as that is. Think about the fact that Derek Grant has had a hat trick. Isaac Lindstrom has had a hat trick. Cam Fowler has had a hat trick. Adam Henrique never has. I remember many years ago, Corey Perry went a long time before he got his first NHL hat trick, and I used to tease him about it, like, Pears, when are you ever going to get a hat trick? And then he started getting them left and right, so maybe I got to start giving Adam Henrique a bad time.
Get down there, Dan.
Okay, just a reminder, Jack Daniels, the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey, so make it count. And just a final thought from both of you guys. Josh, we have the Nashville Predators coming in for an afternoon game, and that's a team that we've had a rivalry with, I think, since those playoff games.
I'll tell you this. Even with a depleted lineup the Vegas Golden Knights have, the Nashville Predators do not have the firepower that the Golden Knights have. And if the Ducks can stay aggressive on the PK like they did tonight, if they can buzz the net like they did in the third period, I think they can handle the Nashville Predators. I think that there's a number of guys on the Predators who are not having as good a year as they had last year. And I think if the Ducks can jump, get the first goal, get some confidence going, and for goodness sake, clean up your business in the second period, because this is really the killer here. I think they can handle the Nashville Predators on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, and you know, Nashville has always been a place that's been difficult for the Ducks to win. And earlier this season, they almost won in Nashville, lost 2-1 in overtime on a goal by Roman Josi. That was one of the rare times when the Ducks really were in a game in Nashville with a chance to win it. So now they get home ice Friday afternoon. And I agree with you, Josh. I think the Ducks are more than capable of putting into the Nashville Predators. But again, we have to go back to that question Steve asked earlier about, can this game carry over into Friday? We'll see.
We shall see. Well, good job, guys, and we will see both of you on Friday afternoon. We'll have our pregame show, if you can't be here in person, 1:30 in the afternoon Pacific time, 2 o'clock for the play-by-play, and still more hockey after that, too. Remember, it's 10 games in a row. You might want to pick up some seats for some of the future games on this homestand, but let's take them one at a time and really enjoy this game tonight, because it was fun, the crowd was great, and the hockey team performed like we hope to see him perform every night here. Josh, final thought?
We've got a big win here in a shootout, so give me a call, 714-940-2888. Let's rack up the calls. I'd love to hear what you have to say on an exciting night here at Honda Center.
And one last point. If you were with us way back during our pregame show and you heard Alexis Downey's pregame segment with Gary Lawless, the Vegas insider, he talked about a number of things. It was a great interview, but one thing Gary said was he was talking about how over the years the Vegas Golden Knights have had good luck against John Gibson. Well, in the immortal words of Herb Brooks, not tonight.
Not tonight. And we appreciate John Gibson and all the guys for a splendid effort here. And makes you enjoy the holidays even more, too, watching an effort in a game like this. Hope you enjoy the broadcast. Dan Wood, Josh Brewster, Rick Cutler, Vic Pence, Cash Hibbler, a host of others, and, of course, Alexis Downey, a big part of our broadcast team now. Again, the final in a shootout, the Anaheim Ducks defeat the Las Vegas Golden Knights 3-2. Zegras and Terry getting the goals in that shootout. So for everyone here, hope you enjoy the broadcast. Stay tuned for Josh and Duck Calls on your way home. Good night from Anaheim. You've been listening to Ducks Hockey on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. Come on, baby, bring it up.
with chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's Classic Hits station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master, Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's Classic Hit Station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to cue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Today's hottest hits are not only topping the charts, they're boosting your day with positive energy and catchy hooks. And the best app for all your favorite audio, TuneIn, is here with our exclusive Today's Hit Station to keep your finger on the pulse of today's hottest artists like Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars, and so many more. Plus, you can ditch the commercial breaks with a TuneIn Premium channel. Look no further. Stream Today's Hits. Only on TuneIn.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888-714-940-2888 tonight. Ducks 3, Knights 2 in a shootout. That's what we like. We do it the easy way here at Honda Center. Oof, 50 shots? 51 shots against. You know, I keep saying, throw out the goaltending statistics because we get a lot of fine goaltending performances. But boy, 18 times this year, we've allowed 40 or more shots, and 7 times this year, we've allowed 45 or more shots. So, look, John Gibson really got it done tonight. He has done that so many times. I'm glad that we were able to reward him in the skills competition. Those are our big-time skill guys, right? Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry. Beautiful moves by both of them, and it was great to see them rewarded. The Ducks, it was a mixed bag. The second period is still an issue. There's no question about it. Marching to the penalty box. Now, fortunately, we played the way you got to play in the third period to draw more calls. Troy Terry certainly a big part of that. But it was interesting because there was a point in the game, I think we had 12 shots. Vegas had already had 14 shots on the power play alone. So, Zegras big time tonight. I just want to point out a couple other guys. Frank Vetrano, I thought, was really hustling out there tonight. And Frank, it's interesting, he was only a one-shot night for Frank Vetrano. 7 shots on goal for Trevor Zegras tonight. Power play 0 for 5. Vegas power play 0 for 5. So our penalty kill has gotten better of late. 25 of the last 30 killed in the last 6 games. 0 for 5 tonight on the power play. I thought we passed up a couple shots. I thought we could have. We have to focus on some one-timers there. But you tell me what you think. 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. You're listening to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. A little later, we're going to have a good friend of the show, Mr. Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period in Sirius XM, is going to join me. Busy night in the NHL. Of course, we also have the World Junior Championships to talk about. But I'll tell you, the midpoint of this game, I mean, the second period, it's just glaring how we can get into these stretches of time where, you know, we're sticking the sticks out, getting these little hooking calls, getting these stick infractions, things of this nature, you know, and some holds and hooks and cross checks, and we've got to clean that up. But I thought tonight on the penalty kill, the Ducks were more aggressive. I've been calling for that, to challenge whoever's carrying the puck, not just to get into a box, not just to get into a diamond or whatever formation we're doing, but to really aggressively go after the opposition, whoever is carrying the puck. Vegas was missing some key pieces tonight. Shea Theodore, Jonathan Marchessault, Alec Martinez, but you deal with the hand you're dealt. And I really like this tonight. This is a divisional opponent, and you've got to start to build some confidence, especially on this long homestand, beating divisional opponents. So the Ducks managed to do that tonight. I wish we could have done it in regulation, but climbing the ladder toward the playoffs isn't the main concern right now. Right now it's a matter of, can you get from game to game, and we were just talking about this, can you get from game to game without having to restart every game? Can you carry some momentum from one game to the next? And we're going to find that out on Friday when Nashville comes in here. I think this is an opponent that I like for the Ducks right now. If you can show them what you showed in the third period tonight, I think we're going to be all right. But some of our penalties we took tonight really did not need to happen. So I would hope that we can get more body-on-body contact. I keep talking about that. Sometimes the sticks are doing the work that our bodies need to be doing, and that's what leads to the march to the penalty box. Looked really good in overtime. Again, I wish we could manufacture some more one-timers, because it seems so often that the puck needs to be dusted off, or someone needs to just wait just an extra half of a second to give the opposition netminder an opportunity to set up. So I would like to see some more touch passing and some more one-timers. But that said, I thought we handled the puck really well in the third period. One thing we need to improve, and this is across the board, our defensive zone exits. These passes have got to come with much more power, and we've got to improve on that. The exits from the zone so we can really get galloping through the neutral zone. And I thought tonight it was just too often that we really didn't have the engine going, getting out of the defensive zone. Too many, you know, kind of lazy passes up, or, you know, sort of softer passes up. We need really forceful passing to get out of the defensive zone. In the shootout, Trevor Zegras, what a beautiful deke. And then Troy Terry, the master of the shootout at times. Tonight was a perfect time for this five-hole shot, that goal that he scored. And then Riley Smith fails on his effort, and we get out of here with a 3-2 win. Were you at Honda Center tonight? Did you have a good time? Did you watch the game at home? Did you listen on the radio? 714-940-2888. Give me a call. Tell me what you think. I'll give hats off to Sam Carrick tonight. I thought that Sam played a really good game. He only had 8 minutes and 13 seconds of ice time, but he had 2 shots on net, and he was also very effective in the dirty areas of the ice. And I wouldn't have been surprised if something would have bounced in off of Sam Carrick. As far as the Ducks go, we've also got 4 shots from Adam Henrique, and he was 13-7 in the faceoff circle. This has been a big difference maker for us. Won a faceoff in the overtime. And, of course, he had his 2 goals. If you noticed on the first one, he got his own rebound, which is always a good sign. I mean, really came on one side of the net. He makes a move. Then it's a rebound off of the defenseman, Miramanov, and then he gets his own rebound on the other side of the net. Now that's hustle, and that's what you're going to need. Then it's 2-0. He takes it upon himself, big slap shot. He surprised Aiden Hill. And then you've got to give Bruce Cassidy credit. He yanked Aiden Hill. He was very decisive. And I'll tell you, that was a good move because, 3-0, 4-0, who knows what the Ducks could have done. I mean, the Ducks started pretty well. Then, of course, you know, we gave up the shorthanded goal. Mark Stone is a killer. But, you know, in the end, before the penalty parade started, Thought the Ducks looked pretty good in the first period. It was a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, we were up 2-1, but feeling slightly shaky because we gave up the shorthanded goal. But on that note, I thought the Ducks availed themselves pretty well in the first. It's the second period that's got to change. That's really, really the crux of our issues, because you cannot lean on your goaltender to the tune of 50 shots or 45-plus shots as we do here. As I mentioned, 7 times, 45-plus, 18 times, 40-plus. So the Ducks are now 5-8-0 when scoring first, so that's a good sign. We never seem to be able to get the lead after two. We're 3-0-1 when we lead after two. We are now 3-10-1 when we're tied after two. So, a good night here at Honda Center, very exciting night here at Honda Center, and it's great to see Gibby come back and get, you know, back on the horse. But I also, again, I think it's very revealing, and I'm going to talk to Dennis about this, and hopefully you as well, 714-940-2888. Lukasz Dostal faced a whole bunch of shots as well, 40-plus shots a night in 4 of his 5 outings, and he availed himself very well. But you just can't lean on your goaltender that heavily. It's, the dam's going to break. I mean, at the end of this game, it was 50 to 22, I think it was, at the end of the third period. And then we went into overtime. All right, let's take a little break here on Duck Calls. I'm going to ring up my guest, Mr. Dennis Bernstein. And I will be right back here on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn, with Mr. Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period. And we're going to break this thing down further. Talk some NHL. Talk Ducks. Be right back.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Don't miss your chance to get an authentic Ducks-branded whiskey barrel from the Jack Daniel's Barrel Tree, displayed outside of Honda Center. Barrels will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis through January 6th, or while supplies last. All proceeds will benefit the Anaheim Ducks Foundation. To purchase, text BARREL to 76278. 76278. All right. Good friend of this show, a great guy from the fourthperiod.com and also SiriusXM. You hear him all the time there. Mr. Dennis Bernstein is here tonight. Dennis, how you doing?
Good. Great, JB. Great to be with you on Duck Calls again. Just give John Gibson 2 weeks off every time, and you'll get that performance you saw tonight.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. You know what? I heard you talking today, and I'm gonna take issue with one thing you were saying that you weren't so sure that the goaltending was working in Anaheim. And I'm going to tell you, we've given up 40 shots 18 times. We've given up 45 shots or more 7 times. And I really think, Dennis, that between what I saw out of Lukasz Dostal and John Gibson and Anthony Stolarz facing these deluge of shots, I think it's one of those situations where you kind of throw the goaltending stats out and ask yourself, you know, are they passing the eye test? And I honestly think that the goaltending here is better than I think a lot of people think, because you look at the shots against totals, and that's pretty rough.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very rough, JV. Yeah, and Dostal's been great. So Gibson, he's been fighting through injuries, JV. It's, you know, the team in front of him isn't very good. So this is a really, I think tonight you focus on his performance, where he did everything humanly possible to give this team 2 points. I like Stolarz. I think his season last season was, I think the expectations got reset on Stolarz last season because he was really solid, and not so much this season. Dostal came out of nowhere. So, yeah, gee, yes, it would help if they don't face 40-plus shots a night. That's going to be too much for even a Vasilevskiy or a Hellebuck to endure a night after night. So, yeah, the structure has to be there.
It's also interesting. We tend to fall into these second periods then where we march to the penalty box, and that's been a killer for the Ducks. I have attributed it to too much using the stick and not enough using the body.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot of these little calls, you know, and then what happens is you've played a good first. You might even be in the lead, but what happens is the power play shots against start to really pile up.
Yes.
And then the middle of the game, it gets real rough.
Yeah, and that's what you saw tonight, JB. The Vegas had, 14 shots on the power play between the first and second period. And that's the thing, and it's not just the Ducks, JB, but there's so many penalties in this league called in the neutral zone with stick fouls. Most of the penalties that are called not avoiding scoring chances. You can say, oh, that was a great penalty because it stopped the scoring chances. Most of these are stick fouls, slashing, hooking in the neutral zone, and they're really not deferring to scoring attempts. So that's the challenge. That's the issue. Not for the Ducks, but I think league-wide, I think the younger players that come into the league, they think they can get away with this stuff. And they can't. You can clearly see the standard for stick calls are much, much greater at this point than I've ever seen in this league.
Yeah, indeed. So let's talk about what we've got here in Anaheim. You know, it's an interesting situation when you have a club. Tonight we've got performance, especially with the big shootout goals by Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry. Mm-hmm. Troy Terry looks, he often looks like he's alone out there. He's gotten so swift that you look at this situation and you go, you know, the club is losing and losing often, but what you do have in terms of Zegras and Terry and McTavish, and then I'll add Cam Fowler, though he's not a youngster. But you've got some sense that there's something, that there are some things going right amidst all these struggles.
Yeah, well, what one of Pat Verbeek's jobs this year is like, who's the core of this team, without question? And the guys you mentioned are the core. Troy Terry, we had Dallas Aikens on SiriusXM a couple weeks back, and I asked him about, you know, what changed in Troy Terry? And Troy Terry is such a demanding player on himself, not just his teammates, but himself. His expectations are so high of himself that he needs to give himself a break. And when he starts to give himself a break, saying he's human, he'll make mistakes on the ice, where he wasn't trying to be perfect, this great goal scorer on earth. So he's certainly part of the core tonight. You look at the stat line. Yeah, he didn't score, but he got two assists. And JB, he played 24-27. Right? That's insane. That's like Mark Stone level time on ice for a forward. So that's just crazy. But you could see from the time on ice and how important this guy is to the team. And I think that's a determination. Who on this team will take this team to the next level, and who is the core? And certainly Troy's there. And he's just, it's been a great story, JB. And this guy was an afterthought for a couple of seasons. Looked like, you know, he's a lower round draft choice, but he's just really emerged. And he's a confident player. When he goes to the net, he believes he's going to score. And that's the type of mentality you need for a goal scorer in this league.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, on defense, I've got to say, I keep pulling for John Klingberg because I know he's had a rough adaptation here in Anaheim. And I still believe that there are more chapters to be written this year. What do you think about Klingberg, and do you think there's an opportunity to write another script and another script? One of the reasons I'm actually optimistic about playing some entertaining hockey here, I'm not talking about the playoffs here, but to play some entertaining hockey, is that we've got a 10-game homestand after a brutal amount of time on the road. And yeah. I wonder if guys like Klingberg could settle down and find their footing.
Well, I think, JB, with respect to Klingberg, he's going to contribute offensively. He's not a stopper anymore. He's just not. At 30 years old, he's not that player anymore. He's not that well-rounded. But he can give this team offense, and if you can live with the mistakes like you saw on the shorthanded goal where he got beat by Stone up the ice. Stone went in and made a marvelous move, and it's Mark Stone, so it's not really an embarrassment to get beat by that player. He's an all-world player. But John's going to have to contribute offensively. He's not going to be able to shut teams down on the blue line. But if he can give this team offense, and, you know, 4 goals, 7 assists in 11 games, if he can continue to contribute offensively, he can help them win games. I think that's his path right now, because he's not the well-rounded defenseman that, let's say, Cam Fowler is. Right, so he'll give you some offense. You have to pair him with the right defenseman, JB, too. It's all about, you know, in this league, JB, it's who you play with on the blue line. And so to find the right partner for John Klingberg to work around his deficiencies, he can be a productive player in the second half of the season.
Indeed, and I'll tell you what, you know, we've got a couple guys here in Ryan Strome and Frank Vetrano. I like the way Vetrano thinks. He's a shoot-first kind of guy, and I like Ryan Strome, and I think he could fill a role here. I'm a little concerned, and I don't like to do trade rumor stuff, but I would be slightly concerned about whether guys like Ryan Strome stay. I would hope he does, because I think that when you get, and I'll tell you why, I hope that when you get better defensive coverage, whether we have to pull guys up from San Diego, Axel Anderson, Drew Helison, Ole Ualevi, or whatever.
Yep.
If we can improve the defensive zone coverage, I think a guy like Strome will be more and more valuable. You need some more veteran presence at center. You're trying to work Mason McTavish in as a center. And to me, Dennis, I think that it would be worth taking, we've got him on contract for a few years. But when I hear trade rumors, I get a little frustrated, because I think that with better defensive zone coverage, I think Ryan Strome would have an easier time producing and digging his heels in.
Yeah, well, look, he was a 2C in New York, and that team, New York Rangers, were a pretty decent team when he played there. JP, he's a 15 to 20 goal guy. He's a 30 to 35 assist guy. So he's a 50-point guy, which is what you want for a second-line center. Like, you sign for that. And I agree. Trade rumors, JP, $5 million a year for 4 more years. That's not the type of player that gets. That's not the type of contract that gets traded these days. It's a guy with 1 year left, maybe two, not with 4 left. That would have to be one hell of a trade. A, B, they'd have to get back defensive help in a trade that player. Maybe Vetrano's more likely because he's cheaper. He's only got 2 years left. These are two players that can be productive, and they're hard nosed players. They're honest players. They don't cheat any night. You get a full 60-minute effort from two of these players. They should be part of maybe the second tier of the core. They're not going to be the core that's going to make this team a championship team, but there are players underneath it. You know, JB, you need a batting order, right? And you need a fifth and sixth place hitter as well. I like these two players. I like the two signings. They can be productive offensive players, but you're right. It revolves around the defensive structure. The defense has to get better, and so when that happens, they'll get more opportunities. But Ryan Strome trade rumors, JB, just – too much term on that deal. You just don't see guys with this much term left on his deal being traded at this point. He's 29 years old. He's certainly not over the hill. They need this player in his position right now to produce while they are waiting for Mason McTavish to continue to develop and emerge.
No, indeed. Absolutely. I thought it was a good acquisition, and hopefully it will stick. Let's talk about the opposition tonight, Dennis. You know, of course, look, they're missing John Marchessault, Trochet Theodore, and Alec Martinez, and even a couple others. But, you know, a long story short, everybody's going to go through these periods where you're banged up. This is a club that has surprised some of the genius expert type of people like myself. You know, you know, you've got Logan Thompson, who is looking like a Calder candidate, right up there with guys like Matty Beniers and Pyotr Kotchikov from Carolina. And you could even, if he's healthy, you could even add Owen Power, the number of minutes he pulls. But Logan Thompson's looking very much like a Calder candidate. What about these Golden Knights, Dennis? They get a new coach in Bruce Cassidy, and they have really surprised everybody, I think, this year. I don't think the expectation was as solid as they've been.
Yeah, because when Robin Leonard got hurt, you had two basically unknowns. Even though Thompson played well last year, they liked it. Robin Leonard was supposed to be the guy. And then Brossoit got hurt. So they went, and Aiden Hill they acquired in a trade. It wasn't supposed to work like this. But they Logan Thompson, and to some extent Hill, but now lately he hasn't played well. You saw tonight, rightfully got pulled at 2-0. He's helped them keep them afloat. 266 goals against .914 save percentage. A little better than average, JB, but you know, you look at the roster and you could say it's the Henderson Silver Knights that played the Ducks tonight, and that's the issue. That's the challenge. This is an older veteran team that's really banged up, JB. You know, Zach Whitecloud's not playing. Robin Leonard's out, I mentioned. Martinez got hit with a puck last night. He left the Crypto.com arena on crutches last night. I think he's going to be out long term. Can this team, because at full strength, JB, they're a contender to win the division. They can make some noise in the playoffs. Will they have enough offense? That's the question. Jack Eichel's out as well. It is a surprise because people thought they would take a step back. They changed coaches. You know, Bruce Cassidy got run out of town because the players didn't like him anymore. There was a lot of change, and it's the one constant in Vegas. They're always trying to change things. They always go after the shiny toy. I've been making jokes about that for the last couple of seasons, JB. This is a dangerous team when they're fully healthy. I'm not sure they're going to be fully healthy because what happens, JB, here's the trickle-down effect of these injuries. Like tonight, I think Pietrangelo played 34 minutes. And Stone played 24 minutes. Cassidy's been riding these players, even though it's only halfway through the season. What happened last season? This team was out of gas last season down the stretch. I don't know how you can play these older players this much because everybody's banged up and think at the end of the season they're not going to be gassed because, you know, Pietrangelo is 32 years old, right? I mean, this is an older team. This is a veteran team where the expectations are very high because of the owner, because of the city they play. And so it's a really interesting team. Have they overachieved? Yeah, because I think most people thought it was going to be Edmonton or Calgary to win the division. Both those teams have been incredibly average so far. So, yeah, they got a puncher's chance. But, JB, the question to this team is not the talent, it's not the coaching, it's the health. How healthy will this team be down the stretch and into the playoffs if they get there?
All right, well, let's talk about a couple of NHL things. I'd be very interested in what you think. I want you to identify a club that is going to have a second-half surge. You know, I'm going to throw the Calgary Flames out there. Something tells me that Huberto is going to catch even more of a tread, and they're going to get more and more out of Kadri, and Elias Lindholm has been great, and I think that somehow they've got enough depth between Backlund. I think Mangiapane's going to come on. Who in the NHL do you think is going to surprise with a second-half surge? Can you pick a club that you think in the second half is going to leave behind the wreckage of the first half?
JB, I'm going to warm your heart and say your hometown team, the Buffalo Sabres. Because, JB, if I told you at game 32,
they're the top-scoring team in the league.
They would lead the league in scoring. You would tell me I was nuts. They've won four straight. Tage Thompson is a monster. Skinner scored goals again. If they can find some better play in net, be better defensively, because they do give up a lot of goals. But, JB, they're, what are they right now? They're 9 points out of a playoff spot, but they have four games in hand on the Rangers, and their goal differential is a plus 18. You know, so when they win, they power through teams. If you watched that game a couple of weeks ago against the Kings, it was nothing going to the third. The final was 6-0. I've never seen a game where it went from nothing to 6-0. And you know, usually maybe 5-4, 6-5, but this team, they've got a lot of scoring, JB. They're entertaining. They're 7-2-1 in the last 10. They've won four straight. Again, the question is going to be defense and goaltending because they're going to score goals. They're entertaining. They've got a lot of talent on that team, JB. You know, you mentioned Owen Power. They've got two first overall picks on the blue line. So I think that would
Rasmus
be the one
Dahlin.
Team that's out of the mix right now that could make a run in the East. And the one team, JB, that we could talk about, the touchdown, like, I didn't see this coming from Washington, right? When you early in the season, Tom Wilson's out, Backstrom's out, Kuznetsov got hurt, the goaltending was a question mark, Kemper was out for a while, they won five straight, they're 9 of the last 10, and they've done it in the context of only chasing Gordie Howe. Usually, JB, that's a distraction. But he's been the leading goal scorer on this team over the last month. They've won 9 out of 10. That's an amazing comeback. And, JB, I think the overarching thing is, look at that Metro Division. There's six teams that are legit. I've never seen a division where you can say there's six teams legit. So I would think in the East, the one team on the outside looking in that has got – I like Buffalo better than Detroit, even though Detroit had a massive comeback tonight in Pittsburgh, wound up winning a game they're losing 4-0 to. But in the East, I think Buffalo can make some noise. I'm not sure they're a playoff team, but I think they could be a search because they got some games in hand, and this team can score goals. And if you can score goals, you got a puncher's chance in every game.
Yeah, there's no question. And they've given us nothing to talk about for a decade, but the Tage Thompson story is amazing. And when you stop and think about this under-18 team that was Matthew Tkachuk, Austin Matthews, mm-hmm. Tage Thompson.
Yep.
There's a bunch of them. And Don Granato was the coach, and there he is coaching in Buffalo. So now on that note, since we're talking about this patch of teams here, I heard you talking today about Detroit, Buffalo, Florida, that you had expressed that you don't even know if Florida is as good as Detroit or Buffalo. And you know, I buy into the Florida Kool-Aid every year, but now I'm starting to think, should they have kept Andrew Brunette as coach? Because what's happened to the Florida Panthers? They've got Matthew Tkachuk. He's productive. But, you know, Barkov hasn't been Barkov. And, you know, to me, they're a mystery, the Florida Panthers.
Well, one of the reasons is the goalie they're paying a ton of money to, JB, he's not dependable anymore. Like, Bobrovsky is just not the guy. They have to turn to Spencer Knight. And, you know, JB, here's the thing. And it's not just Florida, but this isn't fantasy hockey. This is not daily fantasy hockey where you just plug guys in, guys leave, you plug them in. A lot of talent went out the door, right? Huberdeau led the league in assists from left wing last season. Like, Mackenzie Weegar is a 22-minute-a-night defenseman. Maybe not a top pair guy, but certainly top four guy. And, yeah, the coach, I don't know, JB, because, you know, when Florida went up to Winnipeg, you watched that game, that was really personal for a lot of guys in Winnipeg. You know, a lot of guys thought that Paul Maurice quit on them last season, didn't like the way he left in the middle of the season, left them in the lurch. So, yeah, it's just not working, JB. Right now, they're 9 points behind the Rangers. They have a game in hand, but they have to climb over three teams tonight, and that's tough to do. And they are incredibly average. They're not great at home. They've only won 8 of 16 at home. I think they're in a lot of danger here because when I see this team play, I'm like, okay, some nights they look good. Some nights they don't look good at all. There's not a lot of structure there. They've lost 3 straight, and, yeah, there's still a half a season left, but, JB, it's getting late early for the Florida Panthers. I'm not confident they're going to be in the playoffs this season because I look at the teams ahead of them and say, who's going to fall out in the top 8? I don't really see it. The Islanders on the outside looking in, they're certainly better than the Florida Panthers. If I'm a Florida Panthers fan, I wouldn't be saving money right now for the postseason playoffs for tickets because they look average and they don't look like a qualifier in the East right now.
All right, Dennis, I gotta wrap up here, but I'm going to ask you two things real quickly to touch on.
Sure.
You had picked the Carolina Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup. They're going to get a gift when Max Pacioretty comes back. He's already skating around. This is a powerhouse club, and I tend to agree with you. I really think they're a contender. Tell me real quickly why you like Carolina.
They don't give up anything, JB. To penetrate their defense, it takes a lot to do. They don't score a lot, JB, and their Achilles heel will be offense. That's why getting back Pacioretty is great, and I assume they would add maybe another score deadline. But they are well-coached. They play great structure. They've got 3 legitimate goaltenders. They only need a healthy one to get through the playoffs. This is a deep, dangerous team. I like them in October when I picked them for the Cup. I like them even more the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll add something to this. You can look at the stats with Brent Burns. This is a guy who brings you the stats, but what he brings is way beyond stats. And
way,
you know, I was reading something about Chris Pronger. And by the way, boy, we could use his defensive zone exits around here.
Sure.
Chris Pronger, you look at Chris Pronger, and how many guys did not want to go in the corner against Chris Pronger? And then you look at Brent Burns, and you're like, you know, send that beast to my team any time. You know what I'm saying, Dennis? Because it's not on the score sheet. But, boy, what he brings on the ice is it's very hard to find. So,
yeah, he's a hybrid, right? He was a forward that they moved to defense.
Yep.
And, JB, a quality guy in the room. Everybody that's played with Brent Burns and I got to know him a little bit when he played in San Jose. Everybody loves the guy. This is a team player. He's a difference maker. I love that trade when they got him in Carolina. Now, he could be definitely lifting the cup in Carolina in June, the way they're playing right now.
All right, Dennis, real quickly before I got to let you go, who gets Jeff Chychrun He's got 16 points in 17 games since he came back to the lineup. He asked for a deal. He's going to get a deal. I'm sure Arizona will smartly hold out for a king's ransom. Where does Jeff Chychrun go? Jacob Chychrun. Sorry.
Boston.
Don't they already have Hampus Lindholm?
Yeah. Why not? Go for it. Just go one more time. So, yeah, I think. But then, look, Toronto will be sitting around, but everybody's rumored to go to Toronto. And, JB, I got to think one other team. I figure Tampa Bay's going to figure some way to circumvent the salary cap this season, maybe get Jacob Chychrun. So maybe I wouldn't rule them out as well. But I think Boston is fun because they're clearly going for it. They're a cup contender. He'd make it nice. You're right. Hampus has been great. But if I'm Don Sweeney, I want to load up my team for one shot because I think he got a legitimate shot at 843 points percentage. That says something else. But, you know, it changes in the playoffs, JB. Everything gets reset there. So they could certainly use a guy like that. So I think they have the assets to make that move as well.
TheFourthPeriod.com. Go find Dennis Bernstein there. And you can also hear him on SiriusXM. Dennis, always a pleasure to have you on Duck Calls. Thank you so much.
Every time it's a pleasure to be on Duck Calls with you, JB. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, Dennis. All right. Dennis is always great. A real NHL insider. Always on top of the situation. I believe we have a caller. And if I'm not mistaken, it's my new close personal friend, Arnold. From Orange County. Arnold, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Arnold. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Did you have a good holidays and everything?
You know, I did. It was nice and quiet around my house. I did not need a house full of people, just a few close friends. And hopefully you had a Merry Christmas as well. So, Arnold, what's on your mind tonight? We got a great shootout victory tonight. Real happy occasion here at Honda Center. It ended well.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same way. You know, I thought the goaltending from Gibby could have been a little better, but, you know, in the end he got the job done. I loved, of course, I got to highlight Adam Henrik, his two goals, you know. I loved what Henrik did, and I had a question for you, actually, Josh, because I know Henrik was born in Brantford, Ontario, and I just wanted to ask you what your favorite Canadian dish is.
My favorite Canadian dish? How about some back bacon, eh? Like Bob and Doug McKenzie were always cooking that back bacon on the Coleman. Adam's from Brantford, as is Keith Jones, as is Wayne Gretzky. It's between Buffalo and Toronto. Between Buffalo and Toronto. We're land of backyard rinks. So, I'll tell you what, man. You know, Arnold, I'll tell you, John Gibson, you know, again, our goaltenders have faced a lot of shots. If we can get a lasso around that situation, I think we'll be all right because Lukasz Dostal really availed himself well. Hopefully Anthony Stolarz will be healthy again soon. So we've got Nashville coming in here on Friday, Arnold. What do you think is going to happen? Because I think we can handle this team, but we've got to prove that we can do this multiple games in a row.
I feel the same way. I honestly, Josh, I feel the exact same way. Like, I think they can definitely beat Nashville, but it's like you said, they got to give 100%. They got to give a full effort, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the second period, Arnold, has got to improve. I'm glad we won tonight, but boy, if we would just give ourselves a chance in the middle of the game, we would be a lot better. All right, Arnold, thank you so much for calling the show, and if I don't talk
thank
to you Friday.
Thank you, Josh, I appreciate it.
If I don't talk to you Friday, I hope you have a happy new year. Anybody else want to give me a call here in my last segment? 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. I'm going to go through some scores. But if you were here at Honda Center or if you're watching at home, give me a call if you want to tell me what you think. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And it certainly ended good tonight, although the midsection was a little ugly. But we started well, and we ended well. You know, can't always give the 60 minutes. Sometimes you can win a game playing a good 30 minutes. So, you know, so it was a good night, and we won the skills competition. Okay, Senators 3, Bruins 2. That's in a shootout. The Bruins actually lose a game, but, of course, they lose on the road because they really don't lose at home. We were just talking about the Carolina Hurricanes, 3-0 at home tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks, another struggling club. Jordan Martinook, Jesper Fast, and Martin Nakash. Boy, Nick Hesch having a good season, 15 goals. Capitals 4, Rangers nothing. No, Alexander Ovechkin did not score tonight. But the Capitals get out of there with a victory. And as Dennis and I were discussing, this could be a big second half for a club that really was not looking good, the Washington Capitals. New York Islanders are surging in the East. Things are getting better and better for them. 5-1 tonight over the Penguins. 2 goals for Anders Lee. He's up to 13 goals. 2 goals for Matt Barzal. He's up to 7 goals. Stars 3, Predators 2. This is in Nashville. So we'll see the Nashville Predators on Friday. The Wild 4, the Jets 1. Boy, it's ever since they picked up Ryan Reeves, they're winning and winning and winning. And it's not that he's on the scoreboard every night. But it's also interesting, the Rangers traded him away, and they're winning and winning and winning. So I'm not sure what that means. But tonight, the Wild 4, the Jets 1. And, I'll tell you, Philip Gustafson has done a great job for the Wild in their nets. And, you know, Matt Zuccarello and Kirill Kaprizov just keep motoring along. It's an interesting situation. The club has those big buyouts, a lot of salary cap space for Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, who they bought out, but they continue to win. They're 8 games above 500 now. Maple Leafs go into St. Louis, and this is an overtime winner. William Nylander, what do you know? His 21st goal of the year in overtime tonight, 5-4, the Leafs over the Blues. And I think that's about it. Is that it? No, I think that's about it. All right. I will talk to you on Friday afternoon. Don't forget, 1:30 is the pregame. 2 o'clock is the game right here on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. So I will wish you a good night. I hope you have a good rest of the holiday break week, I guess we'll call it. A lot of people are off work. And I will look forward to talking to you on Friday. Thank you for your calls. Thank you to Dennis Bernstein. Thank you, Ducks. 3-2 in a shootout tonight. We win. Let's get him again on Friday. Have a good night.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, today's hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more, so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Ducks stream game.
Shoot, score!
Hear it here on TuneIn.
When that goal siren goes off, it just hits right. And now you can hear a different kind of buzzer, thanks to TuneIn's exclusive Jeopardy! Stations. Stream iconic moments from past episodes on Jeopardy! Classic Station.
What is the organ?
Or stream full episodes with modern champions on the flagship Jeopardy! Station.
Gotcha.
What is a parrot?
All right on the same device when you're listening to DuckStream. Ready to test your knowledge? Buzz in right here on TuneIn.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste. Sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult